Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors.
Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen and subscribe.
In the fall of 1986, Ronald Reagan found himself at the center of a massive scandal that looked like it might bring down his presidency. It became known as the Iran-Contra affair.
The things that happened were so bizarre and insane, I can't begin to tell you.
Please do.
To hear the whole story, listen to Fiasco, Iran-Contra on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Jesse Kelly Show, another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show. I'm about to talk about getting bed bugs, man. That's where we're at now. All right. That's how low it's gotten. We're about to talk about getting bed bugs. Before we get to that, I want to get to this. I want to get to Sean Penn last night at the Golden Globes, apparently introducing the Marlboro Man.
If the freedom to dream were a spear, I proudly present a human being who tonight represents that spear's most honed tip.
Ladies and gentlemen, dear participants of the 80s Golden Globe Award.
Apparently that's Zelensky. I realize he's fighting a war, bro. And Lord knows I've made plenty of mistakes in my lifetime. You're going to have to back that off to a pack a day. All right. You're not going to make it. That's heart disease. All right. And you haven't even been vaccinated. Actually, he probably has. That's heart disease, pal. All right. Before we get to all that, let's get to this. Travel sucks. In general, travel sucks. And here's why travel sucks. Because travel, it's designed to move large herds of people from one place to the next. And as government has gotten more and more involved in travel when it comes to rail and planes, of course, it's gotten worse. The more government gets involved, the worse it's gotten. So we are now in a situation in this country, really worldwide, where travel sucks. And then COVID took it from suck to really, 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 I mean, it sucks hard now. It's bad. Travel's horrible. Why? Because COVID restrictions so decimated the industry. This is actually applicable to many of them, but especially travel. It's so decimated the industry that the industry had to rely even more than it already was on government handouts. Well, when what government pays for, government controls. Now you have even more government control over the travel industry. Everyone knows about the air delays today. You've heard about that all day. A computer problem, flights are down. But it was more than just flights. What you may not have known is some people were stuck for over 29 hours on a train. They started starving. They wouldn't deliver them food. The passengers were calling the cops saying it's a hostage situation. They wouldn't have let the dogs out to go poop. So that brings me to me. Because we've had enough ugliness, and don't get me wrong, we're going to talk about how we treat the press, and we have more deep state stuff, and Trump, and we're going to get to all these things this hour and next hour. You know, I've been stuck on a train once. It's friggin' horrible. Back when I was running for Congress, you'll find this if you ever run for Congress. Not that I'm recommending you do so. Stick with local. It's more important. School board, city council, the sheriff, things like that. But anyway, if you do find yourself running for Congress, you will find this. You have to travel back to D.C. and New York City a lot. Why? Well, you travel to New York City because that's where the media is. That's still the media capital of, let's be frank, the entire planet. So there are so many shows that are based out of D.C. You want to do some hit on Fox News or based out of New York? You want to do a show on Fox News? You're going to New York. Now, it's less so now than it was for a couple reasons. Some of the personalities on Fox They've gotten so big and so rich, to be frank, that they have personal studios set up either in their homes or near their homes. That's just a thing, all right? But for the most part, if you want to be on these shows, you're going to have to fly to New York City and be on the shows. That's one. Two, Washington, D.C., as I brought up before, you have to fly back there to try to raise money. You have to go find, hopefully you're trying to find the good congresspeople, the hardcore right-wingers, and they all have money in their campaign accounts, and you need some of it because you got to go buy some TV commercials. Anyway, so we're always going back to D.C. and New York. And we're usually, when you get back there, you're trying to, as best you can, I should say, make the most out of one trip because it's expensive. No one's paying for this. You got to pay for it out of your campaign funds or your own personal funds. It's expensive. Running for Congress like wiped me out. So we go back, and we were doing a thing where we had to go to D.C. first, and then we were going to take a train to New York because it was fast and it was easy. I should note, if you ever find yourself back there and feel like doing a little social experiment, not a great one, but a social experiment, the train from New York to D.C. or D.C. to New York, it travels shockingly. And you're going to look, breaking news. This is breaking news from journalist Jesse. The train travels along the train tracks, and the train tracks is where the poorest people live because no one who has options ever wants to live by the train tracks. If you take that train, you will travel through neighborhoods where there are homes without windows in them. You will see that there are still people in this country who live in third world levels of poverty. It's actually very sad. But anyway, setting that aside, so we're in D.C. We're trying to raise some money. Got to go to New York and try to do some media up there. It's also really, really, really hot. That's going to come into play here. And there's something major. I forget what the event was going on in D.C. at the time. We get on the train in D.C., get on train station. They seal the doors. Boom. There's a problem, a technical problem with the train. The train has to shut down to look at the technical problem. Quote, temporarily. They shut down the train. Now, this is a train. And it starts getting hot. And it starts getting hot, and it starts getting hot. And it looked like Hunter Biden's birthday party soon as people were disrobing quickly to try to survive. Eventually, I've gotten as naked as I can appropriately get. I have my shoes off. I have my dress shirt off. All I have on is an undershirt. You're welcome, ladies. Pants on. And we're sitting there just sweating, me and my buddy, my campaign manager. Finally, after an hour, the whole plane, people are starting to yell and scream and cuss. Finally, they say, hey, the train is shut down. You got to stay here tonight. Oh, crap. Okay, that sucks. This is going to be expensive. We don't have time for this. We get off the train. We start looking for a place to stay. There's nothing. We start calling the low-end hotels first because that's really, again, money is tight. There's nothing. So we do what we didn't want to do, and we start upgrading. We go from, you know, we're calling Motel 6. We're calling Super 8. Soon it's Best Western. Soon it's Hilton Garden Inn. Soon it's Hilton. Soon nobody has a room. Not a single room in the whole town. And finally, we have exhausted. I think we made something like 60 phone calls, sitting there sweating in the train station, making phone calls. Finally, my buddy has an idea. His dad is super, he's one of these guys that travels for a living. So he's one of these guys with a million business miles, and they have a hotel chain. And I forget, it might be Hilton, but I don't want to downgrade Hilton because this is going to make the hotel look bad. I don't remember what luxury hotel chain it was, but his dad is one of those guys who gets a room anywhere, because he stays there all the time. Makes a phone call to his dad. His dad finds us a room. There was one room available, one king-size bed. Okay, that's not comfortable because I was in the Marines, not the Army, but me and my buddy are going to have to share a king-size bed. We go, and this is a luxury hotel. It's actually a really nice hotel. Again, I don't want a dog on Hilton. I don't remember where it was. Might have been Westin. I don't know, but it was nice. We go sleep in this hotel. We're so exhausted. All we can do when we get in there, take a quick shower and crash, try to get some sleep. Go in the hotel, crash. Unbeknownst to me, at some point during the night, I've pulled the bottom sheet up from the sheet that rests on the mattress. I have pulled it up, and my bare ankle is laying directly on the hotel mattress, which that alone is gross, right? Just think, again, think about Hunter Biden. That's gross. You don't want that. I wake up in the morning, and it looks like my ankle has leprosy. It turns out this high-end hotel's mattress was infested with bed bugs that I laid my foot on all night long, to the point my ankle basically swelled up afterwards. Oh, it sucked. I have so many bad travel stories, but that's enough about me. Let's talk about you before we're going to do more deep state stuff and things like that. But 877-377-4373. Tell me a travel nightmare of yours. Can be driving, can be train, can be flying. I want to know a travel nightmare of yours. Let everybody here in the Jesse Kelly Show family, let us all enjoy your pain. 877-377-4373. Remember, we never do phone calls, so I got to keep you updated on the rules. Get right to the point, all right? No small talk. Don't tell me you love the show. Don't ask me how I'm doing. I'm not going to thank you for the phone call. When I get to your name, get there, all right? 877-377-4373. Let's get to an email real quick first. Just, dear St. Kelly. Yeah, I don't know about that. My family consists of four beautiful daughters and a dime wife. We are as pro-life as you are. Last month, we donated to Preborn for the first time. On Saturday, we received a packet in the mail from Preborn. In it were five ultrasounds of five babies and five stories about their mothers. We read the stories during dinner. There wasn't a dry eye at the table. Yesterday, before school, my eight-year-old asked my oldest daughter to reread them to her again. You talk about redefining our culture. This is one way. You helped us save five beautiful babies and educate four of mine. We will start donating monthly. Listen, thank you. That is Rob and the family. Do not thank me. Thank Preborn. Thank you, and thank you. I'm the least important one here. I'm not doing anything. I'm telling you about it. You're the one who did it. $28 saves a baby's life. $140 saves five of them. Do something great tonight. Might be the only great thing you ever do, but boy, is that worth it, huh? Go to preborn.com/Jesse and give. Preborn.com/Jesse. Or dial #250 and say, baby.
Tonight.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, and I am going to get to your calls with your worst travel stories here, but we are going to pause on that for a moment. No, stay on the line, stay on the line. Just, I'm going to get to you. I have to do a couple different things. One, Chris informed me that I promised you a ghost story last night and never delivered. You should know I'll get to that about 45 minutes from now, okay? I will get to that. Chris, if I don't remember this time, it's your fault, not my fault, okay? So write it down. That's one. Two, I'm seeing a bunch of people because, of course, Joe Biden got busted with new files he wasn't supposed to have today. I'm seeing a bunch of people say different things, have different theories on it. Here's what he had to say.
I was briefed about this discovery and surprised to learn that there were any government records that were taken there to that office, but I don't know what's in the document
that were taken there to that office. This is what they wrote for me, guys. All right, what's happening? And how sad is this, that we live in a country, we live in a system where we are so filled with distrust now, rightfully so, you should distrust it, that we automatically know, okay, what's going on? There's bad stuff coming out about Joe Biden. The system doesn't do this. Plus, it keeps being his own people who are, quote, finding these documents. What am I seeing? What's going on? You want to do a little history with me real quick before we get to these phone calls? We're going to get to the phone calls on the worst travel stories you have, but just real briefly, have you ever heard of the name Boris Berman? Boris Berman. You haven't? Okay, I'll tell you what. We'll come back to Boris in a moment. We're going to do a little history and kind of tie it into today. Before we do that, let me do this really quickly. Let me tell you that your cell phone service sucks and you should stop funding communism. Verizon is a putrid company. AT&T, T-Mobile. These are putrid companies. They hate you. They hate everything you stand for. They take every dime you get, and they actually take joy in spitting in your face with it. Are you ever going to spit back? Are you ever going to quit? Because Pure Talk's right there. Same 5G network. Incredible customer service based in America. They speak English. Your bill will, well, my bill got cut in half for a family of four. You don't have 10 minutes to stop paying communists to hate you? I do. Dial #250, say Jesse Kelly. That'll save you an additional 50% off the first month. All right? #250, say Jesse Kelly. Put your money where your morals are. We have to be better about that. Now back to Boris Berman as we're getting ready to get to these calls and Joe Biden. What's happening with Joe Biden? Well, Boris Berman, here's who he was. He was born right around 1900, 1901, I think. I'm doing this off the top of my head. He was a young man growing up in a very corrupt country, which was Russia at the time. And eventually, the communists, who had never achieved power, so a lot of people didn't realize just how evil these people were, the communists fought a revolution. Boris fought in that revolution. I know it's shocking, a Russian guy named Boris, but he fought in that revolution on the side of the communists. And eventually the communists found themselves as the winners. Now, the communists take over. It's Vladimir Lenin who takes over. And we're moving right along. Keep in mind, there are all kinds of ugly communist things going on here. Torturing, execution, starving people to death. You know, standard communism. Just pretty much standard stuff. Eventually, Stalin takes over. This is right around 1924, if I remember right. I think I am. About 1924, Stalin takes over. Lenin dies. There was a big power struggle who was going to take over the country at the time, which was still kind of run by a central committee, but one man was in charge. And Stalin just simply was craftier than everyone else, outmaneuvered everybody, and became head of the party, head of the Soviet Union, which even Lenin knew, please don't let Stalin take over. That would be bad. But of course, Stalin took over. And Stalin takes over and promptly starts doing what? Communism. Well, what happens when you do communism? Stalin did things like the five-year plan and things like that. Hey, we're going to change things in the Soviet Union. We're going to try a new way. We're going to try communism, guys. Go workers, workers of the world. Oh, no. All these people were dying. Millions of people are being killed by communism because that's what communism is. It's an anti-humanist religion of destruction and domination. That's all it is. Soon, Stalin finds himself, I don't want to say on the outs, but Stalin, he's still head of the party. This is about, I say soon, it was about 10 years, about 1934, I believe it was. Stalin really figures out, people are unhappy. People within the Communist Party were unhappy because the communist things the communists were doing weren't working. They were killing all kinds of people. It's not working. People are starving to death. And because, again, this isn't 1534, it's 1934, the world notices now. We're starting to have things like photographs. Journalists have the power of the picture. These things are starting to circulate. Journalism itself, when you have information now, whereas before it could only travel as fast as a horse or a ship, now things are advancing and you can get news across the world fairly quickly. And, well, not only is communism not working, the world is finding out that communism isn't working. And so Stalin is finding himself in a bit of trouble, his position of power in a bit of trouble. Well, remember, communists don't just hand back power. Communists kill. That's what they know how to do. They kill and destroy. That's their religion. So Stalin looks around, sees he's becoming unpopular in the party, and if he decides, well, it's not me. The problem is very clearly you. Now, what does he do? From there, he proceeds with what is known as, well, it's actually two different things. You probably know it if you've ever heard of it as the Great Terror, although they probably don't teach it in school. Too busy focusing only on those Nazis. Or it's also called the Great Purge. Part of that was, of course, removing Trotsky, who he and Stalin had been kind of at each other's throats for a while. It was, hey, Trotsky, get out of the country, I'll kill you. Trotsky leaves. But then Stalin still has a problem. He needs people to blame. I will finish this history story, and then we will get to your travel nightmare phone calls. Next.
The best way to understand all sides of an issue is to know all sides of an issue.
Can't get that in the mainstream media, which is why you've got to listen to some Clay and Buck for another point of view.
Buck, why are you going third person?
Because, Clay, I think this ad is running in places that might not exactly align with all of our politics or even know who we are.
It's impossible. But maybe if it's true, I bet if they did listen, they'd end up agreeing with us on at least one issue, even if they secretly won't admit it.
Well, the only way they're going to find out is if they download the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app or wherever they get their pods.
We're easy to find, unlike your wife at Costco.
Clay, you speak the truth, but we're already losing people.
I think I gained one or two just now.
In case you haven't noticed, we like to have a lot of fun as well as talk about what's going on in the world.
Come hang with us today and every day at Clay and Buck. Download the iHeartRadio app, search out those names, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton, and come hang.
In the fall of 1986, Ronald Reagan found himself at the center of a massive scandal that looked like it might bring down his presidency.
Did you make a mistake in sending arms to Tehran, sir?
No.
It became known as the Iran-Contra affair.
And I'm not taking any more questions in just a second. I'm going to ask Attorney General.
I'm Leon Neyfakh, co-creator of Slow Burn. In my podcast, Fiasco, Iran-Contra, you'll hear all the unbelievable details of a scandal that captivated the nation nearly 40 years ago, but which few of us still remember today.
The things that happened were so bizarre and insane, I can't begin to tell you.
Please do.
To hear the whole story, listen to Fiasco, Iran-Contra on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Remember, you can email me, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. I'm going to give you the floor for your worst travel stories. Remember, they can be driving, flying, train, doesn't matter. 877-377-4373. Your worst travel story, all right? I'm going to get to you as soon as I'm done with this little history story, because we're talking about Joe Biden getting, quote, busted by his own staffers with even more documents today. So we're talking about, we're back on Stalin, and Stalin by 1934 is not popular, and so he begins what's called as the Great Terror or the Great Purge. Now back to Mr. Boris Berman. He's who this story really is about. Boris Berman, as I said, was a communist revolutionary. He'd been a loyal servant. And he was notorious by this point in time for embracing violence, for enjoying the torture and death and everything that comes with being a communist. You know, that's just part of who communists are. And Stalin decides this whole rebellion thing that's going on within the Communist Party against his rule has got to stop. And the communist only understands one method, and that is death and destruction. So he's going to start killing people. And how does he do this? Well, remember, communists are very all about quotas and numbers because they don't see any individual. American communists are the same, you should know. They don't see any individual as being some unique God-breathed life that is here and made with a specific purpose. And they don't see any of those things that you see. You're just a number. Quite frankly, you're a nuisance. And if you would go away, either completely or partially, it would make things easier. So because human beings are just numbers, Stalin decided, this big Soviet Union, we need fewer people here. And so he divided up the Soviet Union into different areas. We're just going to call them states for the purpose of making it easier to understand. This person will be assigned to this area, and this person will be assigned to this area. And Mr. Boris Berman was assigned to actually a couple of different areas, but we'll just focus on really Belarus at the time. And what was his task? Well, Stalin was very worried about these upstarts, these people taking him out. And he thought a lot of this must be those dirty Polish people. Because there had been some tension, obviously, between the Soviets and the Poles. Famously, once the communists took over the Soviet Union, they charged right in and tried to take over Poland. They were rejected. They were still salty about that. Those dirty Poles. So what happened? Boris Berman? Well, they did things in the very beginning. They really made things easy. Okay, well, we have a quota, and they were given a quota. Hey, you have to kill this many people or imprison and or imprison this many people. They had two different categories. This many people have to be murdered. This many people have to be sent to the gulags, to the labor camps. You have a quota. Go find those people. Don't tell me there aren't those people there. You have a quota to meet. Well, they started out, in their minds, pretty simple. Hey, we got to kill a bunch of Poles. Hey, Boris, give me the phone book. And they did. They just looked through the registry at people with Polish-sounding names. Boop, you're gone. Boop, you're gone. Thousands, about 7,000 initially, just Polish last names, nothing else. Of course, they began to work on informants, work with informants, people all too willing to stay on the side of the government, people all too willing to believe the narrative. By the way, you know that mom, sister, brother, cousin, son, parent that rejected you during the COVID thing? No, you can't visit unless you get vaccinated. You know that that's the type of person who would turn you into the NKVD, right? I'm sorry, but that's the type of person. Anyway, so they got this robust network of spies. Oh, I heard my neighbor Bill is Polish. Boop, Bill's gone. They mainly focused on men. In case you're wondering what happened to the women, the men were taken out and shot. The women were forced into labor camps most of the time. Oftentimes, parents were old and retired and lived at home. They were left to starve to death. The children would be confiscated and put in an orphanage so they could be raised as loyal Soviet communists. And this went on for a long time. We're talking who knows how many. The arguments are long. It's well north of 100,000, a million. Pick your number depending on what you see. But Boris Berman, he is a man who went above and beyond the call of duty. Again, it's 877-377-4373, your travel nightmare stories. So Boris Berman, when he's done being a very loyal communist and killing all these people that Stalin wanted killed, how did it end for him? Because he was a hero by now. Remember, they even gave him something then that was called the Order of Lenin. That was consider that a civilian's Medal of Honor, basically. He won the Medal of Honor, the Order of Lenin. What a loyal servant to the cause. Thank you, Boris. And in the end, Stalin found out that the people, the public, they would only take so much abuse. And every now and then, you had to do something. Now, you didn't have to do anything right by the people. You didn't have to actually give them anything of any significance whatsoever. No, 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 nothing like that. You don't make changes. What you had to do was give them a sacrificial lamb. Give them a bone. Throw them a bone. They need a bone. You know, when mom and dad disappear, you get mad. Cousins disappear, you get mad. Enough people in your community start disappearing. No justice, no nothing. People get mad. So what are you going to do? Well, Stalin realized something had to be done, so Stalin simply had Mr. Boris Berman arrested, put on trial, and lined up and shot. Now, what's this have to do with Joe Biden? Are they going to arrest Joe Biden? No, they're not going to arrest Joe Biden. And I don't know that what I'm about to tell you is a fact, but I will tell you this. The system is well aware that you are sick of a two-tier justice system, that you are sick of an administrative state that is weaponized against you. The system is well aware of how angry you are that your country has rotted out from underneath you. They are aware. They take enough polls. They take enough calls. They read all your emails that they know. Now, what are they going to do about that? Are they going to change course? Oh, hey, the people are mad. Hey, guys, let's change. We should reform ourselves, guys, and we should do better and run the country well. Hey, I've had enough of this communist stuff, guys. Let's do... No, of course not. Of course not. They know they can't do that, but they can throw you a bone. They can throw you a quick bone. Why not offer up the 9,000-year-old man who can't complete sentences, run him out of office? All of a sudden, you start thinking there's justice to be had in the country, and the peasants calm down a little bit. Can't have them grabbing the pitchforks now, can we? Just a theory. Just a thought. All right. 877-377-4373. Your travel nightmare stories. And I hope when you call, I hope you have energy and you don't kill us. I hope you've been taking your male vitality stack, fellas, from Chalk, and your female vitality stack, ladies. You see, what we can't have, and the very rare occasion I take phone calls, what we can't have is, Jesse, I'm so tired. Because then everyone's miserable, all right? We need your T levels up, fellas. Natural herbal supplements, not big pharma crap. Natural herbal supplements. Ladies, we need you to have more energy. Feel good. Go get a subscription because subscriptions are 35% off at chalk.com. CHOQ.com, promo code Jesse. Go. Go now.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
I like it.
Returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. How about that? A little communist history mixed in there. What would be the Jesse Kelly Show without a little torture and death? Remember, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. That's enough political stuff for a little bit. We'll get back to it. Deep state stuff and Trump. I want to know your crappy travel stories. That's what I want to know. What's a terrible you've experienced travel-wise? Scott in Georgia, go.
Hey, Jesse, my fellow Marine. Years ago, when I was a young sergeant, when we were doing training down in Puerto Rico, and they pulled us out one of the outlying islands because we were getting ready for Hurricane Hugo to hit Roosevelt Roads. They stuck us in barracks, kept us safe and everything. As soon as Hugo hit, everything was wiped out. No electricity, no air, no nothing. Running water, everything was bad. And we were stuck there for 4 days, I think. Well, that's just the backstory. Eventually, we got a DC-9, a Navy DC-9, to fly us. They were going to take us all to Norfolk and the platoon we were with. And then when we got up in the air and finally got out of Puerto Rico, the plane developed problems, so it had to land at Charleston Air Force Base. At Charleston Air Force Base, they stuck us in a house. They didn't want Marines there. So whenever we got into the hangar, lo and behold, guess what's coming to hit Charleston? Hurricane Hugo. So we got the going through Hurricane Hugo twice. And you know the Marine Corps, what they did was they sent 2 5-ton trucks down to pick us up. So the worst part of the whole travel event was riding back to Camp Lejeune up US 17 in the back of a 5-ton truck. And you know how comfortable those things are.
Oh, I will explain to everybody in a moment, Scott, what he's talking about with the 5-ton. But Scott, just give me some frame of reference. How much time did you spend on that 5-ton bench seat?
At least 6 hours.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, in case you're wondering, you civilian types out there, what a 5-ton is, you've seen big military trucks, right, with like a canvas back. Indiana Jones and Raiders of the Lost Ark. You seen Raiders of the Lost Ark? Have you seen that movie? You remember when he's chasing after them in a horse, the trucks, the one of them has the ark in the back and there's all those Nazis in the back. You remember those? Okay, that's what a 5-ton is. The modern version of that in the Marine Corps, that's what a 5-ton is. You travel in them often, and there aren't seats in them. There are these skinny little flat wooden benches, one on each side. They're miserable. That's 6 hours. That sucks. Greg in Mississippi, go.
Well, a girlfriend of mine, she moved to Texas and to get a job. Well, she left her driver's license here. So one weekend I was going to tell her I was going to bring it down there to her. So I take off from Mississippi, get going down there, and I'm driving for about 6 hours. And, you know, we're arguing because I'm not going to get there in time and all this. So I ended up getting mad and turning around. So I'm lost because my GPS is taking me some kind of route. I have no idea where it's going. It's not working. I'm losing the internet. So I get in some little town and I have a flat tire. Well, I go to put the spare on there, and I hadn't had this truck that long. Well, the spare is a donut, and it's not even on the rim. It has no air in it, no nothing. So luckily, I had a patch kit. So I take it and I patch it. The bad thing about it was on the sidewall. You know you're not supposed to patch it on the sidewall, but I put two of them in it, and I aired it up and took off. Well, I'm coming back through Louisiana, and I realize I'm almost out of gas, and you know how the exits are in Louisiana. There's 20 miles between gas stations, so I run out of gas. So I walk, finally get picked up, get to the store, go to buy a gas can. They only have a one-gallon gas can. I fill it up, get back to my truck. I take off again. I run out of gas again before I get to the next exit. I have to get another ride. So I get in there, get the gas, get back. Now, I'm tired. I get pulled over in Louisiana because I'm kind of drifting a little bit. The officer was really nice. He let me go, told me to get some coffee at the next stop. So I finally get back into Mississippi. I get down close to my home. I pull in the bank. I'm going to get some money out, and I kind of roll through a stop sign after I left. Next thing I know, I'm surrounded by 15 cops with dogs and everything, and I'm getting pulled over, and they're asking me, you know, what's going on? This, that. I'm like, what are y'all talking about? I tell them, I said, I just came from Texas to bring my friend her driver's license. Well, they see the spare tire in the back that's off the rim, so they now bring out the density meter and everything and think I'm running drugs from Texas. You know, and I'm going through all this, so I get my girl, my friend, I call her on the phone to tell them the story, and when they say they're from the police department, she hangs up on them. So, believe me, it was probably the worst thing of a trip I've ever had in my entire life.
Greg, can I ask just one question? And I'm really not trying to get a rise out of you, but sure. I just got to ask, why didn't you just mail or the driver's license, man? You know we have the mail here.
Well, I wanted to come go see her. She was out of town. I hadn't seen her in a while, and she's a very good friend of mine. I wanted to go visit her. You know, I was going to stay the weekend with her and all, and she ended up pissing me off, and I turned around and came back. Okay. And all that happened. That was the worst day of my life. But I made
I'm sorry, Craig. <That's> 877-377-4373 will be very difficult to top, Greg. Very, very difficult. Before I get to the rest of these, I'm going to get to them in just a second. All right, we're going to get to all these. You've been patient. We're going to get to all these. Let me do this really quickly. I got to focus. This is a serious topic. I got to focus. Dang it, Greg. My face is cramping up. All right. Money. The money situation is not good. You know the money situation is not good because they are tracking certain things out there. One of the main, you know, one of the main indicators for an economy that's about to have a very, very, very bad year is actually personal savings. They track personal savings. You don't want to look at our current personal savings rate right now. So people don't know what to do with their money. Everyone who had any money in the market last year lost their rear end. People don't know what to do. What have I told you? One, I'm not an expert. Two, I try to find you experts. And three, buy things you can touch and feel. I'm big on that because I know no matter what, you will never ever email me or call me and say, Jesse, I bought this and I lost it all. I bought this like you told me to and I lost it all. That will never happen when I tell you to buy things like gold. That will never happen when I tell you to buy real estate. I know real estate bubbles burst and they go up and they go down. That piece of property you bought will never be worth nothing. It will always have significant value. And if you find somebody you can trust, you can increase your value while everyone else is losing their rear end. done-for-you real estate. These are our people. I won't even mention how much these guys love Tex-Mex, but I will just simply mention they're your people and my people. And they do it all for you. You don't have to do anything. They secure the financing. They get it insured. They manage closing, that the rental process, whatever. They do everything. All you do, visit the website. Go to doneforyoujesse.com and start working with these guys. This is where to put your money. This is where to put your money. Doneforyourealestate.com. That property you get with these guys, who I trust, it will never be wiped out, ever, because you can touch it. You can feel it. Go visit your home. Doneforyourjesse.com, all right? All right. Now, we're going to get back to these. The phone lines are officially full. I will try to clear them out when I get back of your worst travel stories. And we also have the New York Times whining about Ron DeSantis. Donald Trump's getting crapped on by the legal system. We have the sky is green stuff. All of our former presidents suck. Man, we have a lot to try to pile into the last hour. Nevertheless, we will do so. All right? Why? Because I'm awesome. That's why. Hang on.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors.
Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck. Listen and subscribe.
In the fall of 1986, Ronald Reagan found himself at the center of a massive scandal that looked like it might bring down his presidency. It became known as the Iran-Contra affair.
The things that happened were so bizarre and insane, I can't begin to tell you.
Please do.
To hear the whole story, listen to Fiasco, Iran-Contra on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.